I would like to remind everyone that 28th of this month, birthday party for Rosemary, noon till 2. The rules say no presents. I'm sorry. Cards only. No one needs to bring any food. So, oh my. Miss Rosemary. Also like to remind everyone about the conference. Lord willing, April 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night. Brother Todd Nybert, Brother Paul Mahan will be here to preach for us. And so we look forward to that. April 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Song of Solomon, chapter 1. I would like to consider the last few verses, verses 12 to 17. This passage of Scripture is concerning the King, the Lord Jesus Himself, and His bride, and the way they speak to one another. The respect that they have for one another. The bride is speaking in the 12th verse, and she says, "While the king sitteth at his table," I began to think on that. The Lord has prepared a table. David said that. "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." Now tonight, we have a table prepared. A table laden with the food of heaven. The bread Himself. The Lord Jesus Christ. He is our feast. We eat of Him by faith. And the very presence of the Lord Himself makes this meeting tonight a very precious meeting. We've not come tonight just for the mere sake of going through the motions. If that's all that we've done, we've just wasted a lot of time. We're just here tonight and it's just the best that we can conjure up. But He's here. Based on His Word, where two or three are gathering in My name. And as I've said before, surely there's two or three here. Surely there are. The King sits at His table. Life Himself, the King of Kings. That's an amazing thought. Now you know, based on His Word, He's seated in heaven. Seated at the right hand of the Father, right hand of God. He ever liveth, make intercession for us. He said, "Though where two or three are gathered, I'm in the midst of you." I think that's a precious thing. That He's here. That He hears. He knows. He perceives. He perceives, infinitely more than we could perceive. But by faith, we perceive Him. We believe Him. We believe Him in the midst of His people. And in the heart of His people, Christ in you, the hope of glory. We are in the presence of the King who, in His life on this earth, walked on this earth, fulfilled all the types, and obeyed the law for His people. Imagine the honor that's given the bride to be able This is an honor tonight. It's a privilege. Some of you know that. This is a grand joy to be in His presence. This is the desire of the believer. Admitted into His presence, just like Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth, that young boy, his nurse dropped him. He's just a little baby. Broke both his legs. Lame on his feet. A picture of God's elect. King David, because of a covenant with Mephibosheth's daddy, Jonathan. Jonathan asked him, you know that, said, when you become the king, would you show mercy to my family? King David said, is there any of the house of Saul that I may show mercy to for Jonathan's sake? There's some folks that Almighty God has shown mercy to for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ, for His sake. Mephibosheth sat at the king's table. King told him, he said, you sit here and you feast every day. You're going to sit at my table. You're sitting here because of your daddy's sake, because of my covenant, my love for your father, Jonathan. Tonight we sit and we hear the word of Him and we preach to you in Christ's stead. And I pray the Lord might be pleased tonight to honor this word. Give me a mind, bring back to memory some things that He's taught me, and then bless in spite of me. I'm not saying that out of, you know, sound spiritualism. I mean it, right? I mean it. I pray, in spite, Lord might be pleased, take that word, honors Him. And what is this table? What is it? It's the gospel of Christ by which we feast upon Him. That's His table. Gospel set forth. The King's gospel. The King's table. He provided it. He provides it. Presides at it. Maintains it. And the bride is brought by grace to enjoy the fullness of His table as He is in her midst and as He answers for her. While the King sits at His table, my spikenard sendeth forth the smell thereof. The bride says, it's my spikenard. Mine. It's mine. It's mine. Hers. It's the ointment that is poured on the honored guest. Turn with me to John. John chapter 12. John chapter 12, verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which was dead, whom He raised from the dead. And there they made Him a supper. And Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with Him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped His feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. She took that spikenard. It's made from a plant called nard. Nard. And it's crushed. And spikenard is what comes from that. It's an ointment and it's poured and it has a savor, smell, a fragrance. But the thing that made it interesting to me was the bride said, my spikenard sendeth forth the smell thereof. But here's the truth about her spikenard. She has nothing of herself to give. In herself, she's empty. In herself, she's void. In herself, what does the bride have? The only thing that she has is what He's given her. That's all she's got. But it's hers. It's hers as a gift from God. You remember the Lord Jesus Christ when the woman that had the issue of blood came to Him and she said, "If I could just touch the hem of His garment, I'd be whole." And she touched Him. And the Lord stopped and said, "Who touched me?" You know the story. He looked at her and He said, "Woman, thy faith has made you whole." The spikenard that is given unto the king, that's poured unto the king, what is that? It's love to him that's kindled as the result of his love for her. I love him because he first loved me. He loved his bride with an everlasting love. And he's given her a heart to love him. And she loves him. She does love him. She'll admit, "I don't love him as I ought," but she loves him. And that has a savor, a smell, sweetness, fragrance. She pours the spikenard of joy upon him that shed abroad in her heart. Joyful in the Lord. And peace, the spikenard of peace that surpasses all understanding. He is her peace. And she loves him. She's at peace with God because of him. She joys in the Lord. The joy of the Lord is her strength. She says, "My spikenard." She gives him the sacrifice and ointment of praise and thanksgiving. Where'd she get that? He gave her, "I will remove that heart of stone. I'll give you a heart of flesh. I'll write my law on your heart." She has only that which He's given her. If He withdraws Himself, her spirit languishes like tender plants that wilt. But when He reveals Himself, her soul is renewed and made fruitful. Now you know that. You know that there's times when the Lord will just manifest Himself to you, and you know it. And you're so thankful. And then there's times that it seems as though that maybe you don't know where He is. But oh, in the precious times that He's there, as the King sits at His table, "My spikenard sendeth forth the smell thereof. A bundle of myrrh," verse 13, "is my beloved unto me. A bundle of myrrh. He is my well-beloved." Myrrh was a gum from a shrub that perfumed the bearer. It was a gummy substance. And it had a sweet smell to it. And it was an expensive perfume. And it gave credence to its owner. It was an expensive perfume, myrrh. I want you to turn with me to Genesis 43. Something about myrrh that I found very interesting. Genesis 43. Beginning in verse 8, Jacob was going to send Judah, one of his sons, into Egypt. And he said, "Judah said unto Israel, his father, send the lad with me, and we will arise and go, that we may live and not die, both we and thou, and also our little ones." And listen to what Judah said unto Jacob, Israel. Remember, Jacob's name was changed to Israel. Listen to this. I Boy, I can look at this one passage of Scripture right now, Genesis 43:9. My goodness, what a picture of the Lord here. I will be surety for him. Of my hand shalt thou require him. If I bring him not unto thee and set him before thee, then let me bear the blame forever. For except we had lingered, surely now we had returned this second time. And their father Israel said unto him, it must be now so. Do this. Take of the best fruits in the land of your vessels and carry down the man, a present, a little balm, little honey, spices and myrrh, nuts and almonds. Take double money in your hand, the money that was brought again in the mouth of your sacks, carried again in your hand. Peradventure, it was an oversight. Myrrh was an expensive perfume that was sent. And Jacob, Israel, was sending with his son, with Benjamin. He said, I want you to go now. We're going to go and approach this man. And he says, whenever you go, he said, take some myrrh. Myrrh was one of them. Myrrh there, that expensive perfume, gave credence to that owner. Judah here is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, our surety. And Jacob, his father, sent the choicest gifts, the costliest presents with that surety. The Lord Jesus Christ is our surety. He's given us His Word. For we have Him as the Word. He is, the Scripture says back in Song of Solomon, a bundle of myrrh is my well-beloved unto me. He is the expensive gift. He is the grand. He's the costly in His incarnation, in His atonement, in His resurrection, His ascension, His intercession, His grace. You can't put a price on that. What kind of a price would you put on Him who is a bundle of myrrh? He's a bundle. Take a little myrrh. Take a little myrrh. He's a bundle of myrrh to me. Mingled also was myrrh in Exodus chapter 30. Just turn over there with me for a second. Exodus 30. Exodus chapter 30. The Lord gave some instruction concerning myrrh. Exodus chapter 30, verse 26, thou shalt anoint the tabernacle of the congregation therewith, and the ark of the testimony, and the table, and all the vessels, and the candlestick, and his vessels, and altar, and incense, and the altar of burnt offering, all his vessels, and the labor in his foot, shall sanctify them. They'll be most holy. Thou shalt anoint, verse 30, Aaron and his sons, and consecrate them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, this shall be a holy anointing oil unto me throughout your generations. Now this oil that he spoke of, back in verse 23 of Exodus 30, take thou also unto thee principal spices of pure myrrh. And he told how much of it to do. He said, you take that perfume and you anoint everything in that tabernacle. The candlesticks, the table, Aaron, his sons, it's holy. It's an anointing, a holy anointing oil. Anoint everything within. The presence of the Lord is the sweetness. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians 2. Verse 15. 2 Corinthians 2:15 says, for we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who's sufficient for these things? This myrrh, he is a bundle of myrrh unto me. It was an expensive perfume that gave credence to the bearer. It was a mark of the suretyship of that one. It was that holy anointing oil that was put on everything in the tabernacle. The bride says, he's a bundle of it to me. He shall, last part of verse 13, he shall lie all night betwixt my breast. This world is the night. This is the night that we're in. I was born by nature in spiritual darkness and death. But he has given the bride, the regenerated bride, his bride, a new heart. And it is within her that he stays. He never leaves her. He never forsakes her. In this world we have tribulation, but he is our peace. When she says he shall lie all night, the picture of this night, betwixt my breasts, what she's saying is, he's in my heart. That's where he stays. He's in me. He's within me. My beloved, verse 14, is unto me as a cluster of campfire in the vineyards of Engedi. Engedi was a place near the Dead Sea, I found out, that was famous for growing the best camphor. Camphor is another perfume. So the camphor that speaks of the Lord Jesus, my beloved, is unto me as a cluster of camphor. So this camphor that speaks of him has its origin in the best place. That's what it said. My beloved is unto me as a cluster of camphor in the vineyards of Engedi. Engedi grew the best camphor. So the camphor, a picture of Christ, it says comes from the best place. But the word camphor has for its root word the same meaning as the word atonement. Covering, propitiation. The word camphor means atonement. So my beloved, is that scripture, I can just say it this way, is unto me a cluster of merit and righteousness. He is precious to me because he is my propitiation, my satisfaction before God. The place of glory, the best place, in the best place, the place of God's glory and honor. He is a cluster of camphor to me. He's my covering. He's my atonement. Verse 15, 16, and 17, the Lord and His bride speaks to each other. In verse 15, the Lord speaks and He says, and as I read this, I mean this with respect. I read it and as you read it, you'll see what I'm saying. The Lord speaks and He says this to her and she says, oh, that's the way you are. And He said, this is the way you are. She said, that's the way you are. Back and forth. Verse 15 says, behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes. The bride is being spoken to by the Lord. And the Lord says to her, you're fair. Fair by His imputed righteousness. Not fair in herself. The bride will tell you what she is. She says, I'm black. But I'm comely. I'm beautiful. I'm fair. Fair how? Fair only in His righteousness. His righteousness being charged to her account. His righteousness entered in. His righteousness imputed. Oh, I know we have nothing to glory in as far as being in ourselves. But He looks upon us as we truly are in Him. Turn back with me in 1 Corinthians 1:30. 1 Corinthians 1:30. The Scripture says, but of Him are ye. Now, whatever this says right here, we are. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Oh my, we could stay there a long time. Suffice it to say that as He says we are, we are. He says you're fair. Just turn over to 1 Corinthians 6:11. This is where we are. 1 Corinthians 6:11. The Scripture says, "But such were some of you," speaking of verse 10, "thieves, covetous, drunkards, revelers, but you're washed." You are washed. You're sanctified. You are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. We looked at justification last Sunday morning. Justified before God. Declared to be just and righteous by the imputation of the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are there. Therefore now, no condemnation to them that be in Christ Jesus. This is what He said, you're fair. You are fair. You are fair. You are fair, my love. That word there means my companion. Those made willing to walk in agreement with Him. How can two walk together unless they be agreed? He said, you're fair, my companion. My love, if He didn't make us so, we wouldn't walk. We wouldn't walk with Him. You'd have no desire after Him. If you desire Him tonight, if you walk after long after Him tonight, you do so by the grace of God. You're fair. I tell you, this is encouraging to a believer to have Him say, based totally on His righteousness to us, for Him to say, you're fair. You have dove's eyes, single eyes to Him. Loyal to Him. Loyal. I'll tell you this. God's people that He calls out of darkness, God's people that He gives a heart, they stay. God's people stay. God's people remain. God's people remain. Why? Because they're kept by the power of God through faith. You have dove's eyes. Eyes to see spiritually. Eyes to see that are governed by the dove of heaven. And then the bride speaks in verse 16. Behold, she says, thou art fair, my beloved. Yea, pleasant also our bed is green. He said, you're fair. But she's fair by His imputed righteousness. And she says, you're fair in yourself. You're fair. Zechariah 9:7 says, how great is His beauty. But how does the believer express and behold His beauty? John said, we beheld His glory. The glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And by faith, the believer beholds the glory of God as He expresses Himself in His Word at His table. This is His table. And at His table, He serves. And He serves Himself through His Word. And we feast on Him. By faith, that's what's happening tonight. We feast on the Lord. He says, the bride says, you're fair in yourself, my beloved. Yea, pleasant, comely, beautiful, beloved. Also our bed is green. Where we rest, He leadeth me beside the green pastures. Where we rest, we flourish and prosper. Green life. Where I attempted to rest before, and you attempted to rest before, there was death. I was in bondage, and you were too. Bondage to the law, it had me under its yoke. But wherefore, the Scripture says, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God Almighty, God Himself. Our bed's green. Our place of rest is green. It flourishes. How is that? In Him. Married to Him. He's life. He's life. And in union with Him, our place of rest is green. The beams of our house are cedar, and our rafters of fir. It speaks of the house. The house. And in closing, on that scripture right there, I think 1 Peter 2:5-9. Turn with me there. I'll read that while you're turning. The beams of our house are cedar, and our rafters of fir. 1 Peter 2. Verse 5. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he's precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is become the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to him that stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Our house, our place, our rafters, our place of rest, the beams of our house, the house of His making, His building, cedar and rafters of fir. May the Lord add His blessing upon the reading and the expounding of His Word. Let's just sing one song. Pat, why don't you just lead us in one verse of a closing hymn, and then, Brother Scott, I'll ask you if you would dismiss us, please, sir.